A popular view of Dublin Airport is that it is the place where one gets a plane out of the country. And this undoubtedly is correct. However, it is more than this. It is Ireland's principal airport, carrying all the connotations of port. An intake point for passengers and cargo, with a backup of services and facilities. The international airports have had a steady increase in freight cargo over the years, and Dublin is no exception. Freight carriage is in fact a definite expansionist area. An indication of the growth of the airport can be found in the passenger figures. In 1940, 10,000 people passed through. In 1976, it was in excess of 2 million. The airport has grown accordingly. It now covers a total area in excess of 1,500 acres, with banks, shops, restaurants, car rental firms and so on. On Friday, August 19th, we followed the build-up and the backup for one flight. Flight 668, Dublin to Zurich, scheduled for takeoff at 1600 hours.
Have a look at your bag, sir, please. Just put it up here. Can you open, please?
My name is Jim MacDonald. I'm the Chief Airport Security Officer in charge of the Airport Security Force. The Airport Security Force consists of two branches, police and fire service. We'll take the police service first. They man the various checkpoints and maintain traffic control and look after the general flow of passengers and visitors and such like. We control access. The airport is divided into two parts, airside and landside. The airside is a restricted area, and we man the various access points from landside to airside.
What sort of security problems do you have here now in Dublin Airport?
Well, the parking is one, like regular illegal parking of cars.
How about the more serious aspects of security? Bombs, guns, hijacking and so on.
We have measures in operation. We have a check on all vehicles approaching the terminal. That is located down on the approach road at the Old Georgian building down there. Then we have a scrutiny on the car park. We have an elevated observation tower which with closed-circuit television cameras and that would keep a general view of activity. We have, at the entrances to the passenger terminal, we carry out a check on luggage and on the passengers. We use explosive detectors for this purpose. And then we have the international aviation requirements of checking hand luggage before passengers board the aircraft.
May I have your attention, please? Would a Mr. and Mrs. Evers, awaiting unaccompanied minors, please come to the information desk? Mr. and Mrs. Evers, awaiting unaccompanied minors, please come to the information desk.
Have you ever asked, please, is Mrs. Gilligan here to meet Anne Louise Gilligan? Is that possible?
Yes, sir.
Can I have your
sorry, can you have passenger list, please, on the Boston flight which has arrived?
No, we don't have passenger list at all now. Yeah.
Would it be possible to page somebody?
Certainly.
Mr. and Mrs. Philbin. Philbin.
PHILBIN.
Passengers from Boston.
There are pretty nice coming in.
Attention, please. Would Mr. and Mrs. Philbin, travelling from Boston, please come to the information desk at the arrival hall. Mr. and Mrs. Philbin to the information desk, please.
There was a message out there for Phil Orr and Moss Keane.
Phil Laura.
Phil Orr and Moss Keane to contact information.
Pier Control are looking for you upstairs down to the right on the loop.
Who's it?
Pier Control.
Pier Control.
Aer Lingus Pier Control.
Okay. Upstairs and down to the right.
Upstairs and down to the right.
This is the information desk which we're at the moment. Now, the equipment available to the girls, the information assistants, if you like, inside this desk is two monitors which reflect exactly the same information which is put out on our public television information screens. Funnily enough, people who watch these screens don't often believe or credit what they see and will come back to the desk to reassure themselves on the status of any particular flight. In addition to those two monitors, they have monitors from cameras which are located in the customs hall. From these monitors, they can see whether bags for a specific flight have arrived in the customs hall or not, whether people have collected their bags. In other words, they can give information exactly on the status of any arriving flight. Further to that, they have an intercom system over which they communicate to our pod, which is a tower located on the roof of the terminal building. The people in that area can give them up-to-date information on departure time, arrival time, actual times on checks and departure times. They can also obtain information from operating airlines regarding possible delays, etc.
Coleman, I have an inquiry. Flight EI-668 to Zurich this evening. Will that operate on time?
That won't get away in time either, John. It'll be restricted by the ATC dispute at Heathrow.
You won't be able to give me any time at this stage?
Well, it won't be issued with a delay until the aircraft actually calls for start-up clearance from Dublin.
Okay, thanks, Coleman.
The information desk here in the airport is obviously a very busy place, and the girls here come under a great deal of pressure.
Yes.
What sort of pressure is this?
Well, every kind of pressure, particularly in the summertime when there's so many more people travelling. And, like, for example, now at the moment, this past week, due to the ATC go slow at London, they're under constant pressure. And people just don't seem to understand why you don't know what time a flight will come in. And you can't say, because at London at the moment they're just sitting waiting to take off, and it can be hours, up to 3 hours, which has happened. But this sort of thing people don't understand.
An airport is a sort of a meeting place for all sorts of strange people pass through, and some of them actually come out here. The airport attracts them.
Oh, yes.
What
yes.
sort of people, strange people, do you get coming to an information desk asking questions?
You get all sorts of queer people. People coming out to meet people who they haven't met for years, and they come over to you and they say, well, he said he'd be arriving at such and such a time. They have no idea of flight numbers or anything. They expect you should know what time you'd get to London, what time you should get on a plane, this sort of thing. And then you get the people who come out just to look at the airport and to see what goes on.
And would they sometimes go up to the information desk and start asking questions?
Oh, yes, where everything is. Even had somebody coming over the other day, could they have the loan of a dictionary?
Agent Marianne Byrne.
Yes, we are.
That's my name. I'm just putting her on the plane this minute.
Are you calling Marianne Byrne?
Yes. Yeah, that's my niece. She's after boarding the plane, actually.
She's actually, but there's somebody here
who
wants
is
to
it,
speak to
you know?
Just a lady. Excuse me, were you looking for Marianne Byrne?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Are you Sheila by any chance?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm Marianne's aunt, Bree. This is my mother, Mrs. Byrne. This is Kathleen's friend.
She's
just after boarding the plane. No, we were here since, actually, wait till I tell you, only for Kathleen last night told us. Marianne was told the plane wasn't going until 11:30, 10:30, so we checked last night. I know, but we checked too. We were given the wrong information.
You have to board.
So last night we rang again, and they said she was to be out here at 9:45. Checking at 9:45. We're looking out of you, but I didn't know you.
Yeah.
But she was looking out. We were an hour over there trying to check. She's in the no smoking section.
Well, I don't even know because I never thought to ask. I'm a smoker, never thought to ask.
Yeah. We had Kathleen and Kevin up last night. We had some party. Kathleen isn't too out. She's a bit of a chill.
She had you.
Yeah. I don't think I met you before. Mary Ann said I did, but I didn't.
Well, the major problems at the big airports is the long waiting lines and the. Lack of services from handling baggage and things like that. And I didn't find any problem here today. Some of the bigger airports, like, well, it was Chicago is the worst one I've ever been in. It was so vast that if you weren't quick about moving around the airport, you'd miss planes. You had to go from one end to the other, and it was great long distance of moving from one terminal to the next. And it's because of the tremendous size and number of airplanes coming into that airport. Kennedy and LaGuardia are two other airports I'm familiar with in New York City, and they're also very large. And I think this airport is relatively modern, new, up-to-date compared to those. And service is very good here.
Good afternoon. Where are you traveling to?
Flight 668 to Zurich, please.
Right, thank you. If you just leave your luggage on the scales. And I need your ticket and your passport, please. Yes. Now, it's gate B24 at 4:15 for boarding.
Zurich, 668. Baggage, wrongly marked baggage can be a problem, but it's a thing, if we catch it early enough, and we ring the check-in announce the client whose bag may be if it's not marked up. If not, then be sent back in for checking out, and it's a matter of be sent out on the next flight to that destination.
The pod, as it is familiarly known, is the ground control tower, with responsibility for allotting apron space to aircraft and for feeding back to the information desk departure and arrival times. It is also the nerve centre of airport security.
Apron watch, police 2.
Please do go.
Could you go to air cargo, please, to collect valuable cargo for flight 668 and take the stand 37?
Stand 37, Roger D.
Sierra Fox is going to 668 to Zurich.
Roger D, 668 Sierra Fox, thanks. Go ahead.
Can I have a stand for the 823 from Paris, please?
Yes, that's Sierra Fox for the 668 to Zurich. Stand, or gate 25.
Thank you very much.
We are here in the security pod at the top of the main terminal building. Here we have a bank of cameras that we can watch all these different areas in the main building. But if you're using these switches here on the right, you can switch to any of the key areas. Any trouble we see coming up on any of these areas at all, we can either get a foot patrol to them immediately by contact with the radio, or in the further outposts here, like the car park and the other outer buildings, the head office block and that, we can send the police car, which is also radio controlled. Each camera is controlling three different points. We switch onto each point. Several of the cameras are panning cameras. We can tilt or focus in on the various points. We also have up here the main fire phones. And we can, the pod is manned 24 hours a day. Any fire calls that come in on the emergency phones would come to here, and we can pass it on immediately to the fire station through the direct contact here. We have behind us the security fire control. This is worked by fire, heat or smoke alarms around the building.
Yeah, well, he was cleared in by the man on number one post to do some job. It's a short-term job there, and he's trying out some equipment, a fan. So the handiest way of bringing it in was to bring the car in. The man on number one post cleared it through on the request from the hangar superintendent.
Roger D, you know all about it anyway, Mr. Mayor. We'll pass that on to the CL.
That's it's okay.
Roger D.
Fire station.
Fire station, apron watch here. Could we have an ambulance to meet flight 205 from Manchester on stand 36?
Big colour. Flight 205, stand 36 from Manchester. Roger D.
Could you tell me, is there much of a delay on the 668 flight to Zurich due to ATC strike?
Okay, the aircraft for the 668 was about half an hour out late this morning, so I reckon about a 30-minute delay outbound to get it out of Dublin at, let's have a look, about 16:30.
Thank you very much.
The pilot for the Aer Lingus 668 to Zurich is Flight Captain Colin Moriarty.
Normally we have a teleprinter here, which gives us the actual...
actual weather for each of the aerodromes. It just types it out. But this is because of the telex strike. The moment. Hello? It's not working. Hello, Zurich, please.
Hello, to Zurich, you have first over Ireland on the Irish Sea a northerly flow. It becomes westerly over France.
My name is William Ryan. I'm working here for the last 20 years. I'm as pest control, you know. My job is to keep the rats and mice under control, and also the cats, which are a menace in the place, you know.
Well, here with you, you have your apprentice, a young man whom you're training in here for the job.
Yes.
So, what is your feeling about this job? How do you see it?
It's a necessary job. Like, the rats are a problem. Like, if they do get into buildings, they can cause havoc by frightening people for a start, you know. But cats, I think the biggest problem, like, is if they get into electrical equipment, you know, they can cause trouble, you know. But otherwise,
the eastern parts of France. At 12:20, TWA 877 report light shop.
Here in the control tower, what use do you make of binoculars in the control tower?
Well, we use them primarily for watching the movement of aircraft and also watching the airfield itself, particularly runways, for board activity, which at the moment, this time of the year, you get a lot of boards on the airfield. And a single board ingested into a jet engine can cost about £10,000-£12,000 worth of damage. So they're an annoyance to the, more than an annoyance, an expensive thing for airlines. So we monitor anything like that on the airfield.
What sort of birds do you get around the airport here?
In the morning time, you'll get seagulls flying in from the coast, and again, sometimes in the evening. And the daytime, you get a lot of plover and crows. You get flocks of crows around the airfield in the afternoon around this time. And as I say, in about a few hours in the evening now, we'll have seagulls flying over. They seem to be attracted to the concrete areas particularly. I don't know, there's some reason for it, but it's a great problem with most airfields in the world, board control, so we have to be on our toes and keep an eye out for them all the time.
And if you spot a large number of birds circling the airport, what do you do?
Well, depending on whether they're going to be a problem for aircraft, if they're away from the movement area, we don't want to disturb them, prepared to leave them there. But if they're affecting aircraft operations, we will advise the fire crew by telephone, and then fire crew will go out in a vehicle and they will scare off the birds either by use of flares or shotgun.
Rescue 2 Grand.
Rescue 2 Grand, go ahead.
Rescue 2 is at the approach to Taxi 12, requesting clearance onto runway 30 to carry out a bird scaling operation.
Rescue 2 ground, you're clear to go on the runway 30.
Rescue 2 clear to go.
The air turbulence was forecast, which is, for the passenger, it just means the aircraft begins to bump as it's going along. It's not associated with clouds or anything, and it can vary from moderate to severe. Now, if it's severe, you'd certainly try to avoid it. Even with moderate turbulence, you would leave the seatbelt sign on. So from the passenger point of view, you would avoid it, but it has been forecast.
Inside here in the belly of Boeing 737 and in the hangars in Dublin Airport, what exactly are you doing to this aircraft? You're obviously doing a very major job on it.
Well, this is an aircraft which is in for what is known as MBC, which is the most major inspection any aircraft can get. It has a life span of so many years between the number of these particular checks it gets. And at this stage, we're laying the floor lock assembly, which will take either a freight pallet or a seat pallet.
In fact, you have more or less gutted this aircraft. You have actually taken it apart and reassembled it again.
All bar the main support.
Yes, bar the main support.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't normally do this sort of a job to all aircraft, say on the day-to-day or week-to-week, or month-by-month. What sort of repairs do you do here in the hangar?
Well, we cover every aspect of repairs, but we would... The leg of this aircraft, like, each of them have their own period, be it... This particular model is a 737, a Boeing, and it will, over a number of years, it is due this MBC. The same period of time wouldn't apply in the case of a BSC 111.
What has your working day been like today?
It would also have...
Well, it would be easy to start last night. I finished last night at 2:30, because of this ATC delay in London. We were delayed about 4 hours out of London. So I finished work at, say, 2:30 last night, and I checked in here at 3:10.
We can't put our hand on the Zurich item just a second.
Okay. So we check in 50 minutes before a flight. So a flight like this, which is the continental flights, it's not a terribly long flight. We're due back at 9 o'clock. You know, you wouldn't take any particular rest around there. But on a longer flight, certainly on the inclusive tours, which are through the night, or down to Rome, Rimini.
We are now entering Pier B. Dublin Airport is normally serviced by two departure piers, namely Pier A and Pier B. Due to a fairly restricted flight schedule over the past couple of years and general recession, it has been found that one pier, namely Pier B, has been sufficient to handle departing passengers. With the general increase and in flight traffic, it's anticipated that Pier A will reopen next year to handle the increased demand. At the entrance point to Pier B, we have a first security check where a security officer checks that all individuals entering this area must hold a boarding card. We then proceed to hand baggage check, which is carried out on an X-ray machine. This machine will identify in the baggage whether any firearms may be present or not.
Okay, sir, place all your baggage there on the belt. Thank you. Walk through the metal detector and pick up your baggage at the other end. This is where the baggage are screened before the people go on board. All their hand luggage. It's the last check before they go on board from a security check.
How does it operate?
There's a man mans it here on this side of the camera, and he observes all the baggage going through. He x-rays all the baggage. You can see if there's anything like guns or anything in the bag that's not supposed to be there. And he stops the baggage and takes it out here.
He put up on this screen in front of us here. This is very indistinct at the moment, you can see. But this is Ireland here, and this is the UK, and this is continental. And this is the general weather picture. Now he's putting up.
You see this chart at all?
It's not very clear now.
No, I'm sorry, but we aren't supposed to touch
Okay, I can see
anyway,
it now, actually.
All the spherics reports are over Germany and the north of Italy, but there seems to be nothing on the line from the southeast of England to Zurich, except just perhaps one there east of Paris.
Okay.
Very far.
That's fine. What about return back here? It'll be okay, as forecast?
Quite all right here.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
It's one of the more important aspects of the flight planning is checking the weather. Because certainly around Europe, the weather can change quite dramatically within a couple of hours. So generally speaking, you're en route now. We'll be getting weather over the radio. We'll be listening to weather stations broadcasting. So we'll be able to pick up any trend, any change, even before it happens, we should be able to anticipate. So it's pretty comprehensive, the coverage on the weather.
How do you and your crew captain approach each flight?
Each flight is separate and distinct, in the sense there are certain fuel figures, which, for instance, we have a set figure for each place we go, and unless the wind there or the weather there is drastically change, we wouldn't increase the fuel. For instance, if we were going to Zurich now, and Zurich was forecasting fog, and Geneva, all that area was bad, we would take extra fuel. In this case, we'll take what's called sector fuel, which is a computer's average fuel.
In addition to the X-ray baggage unit, we have also a walk-through body metal detector, which will indicate the presence of any metal being carried on the person.
The 668 to Zurich, from Dublin to Zurich, is out on the apron. What exactly is the procedure from your point of view with an aircraft like that?
Well, from the engineering point of view, incoming the aircraft is met by a mechanic qualified to transit the airplane. He carries out an inspection of the aircraft in accordance with regulations for serviceability and any defects which the captain may enter in his tech log on arrival. Any defects that may be on the aircraft are rectified. The aircraft is cleared for flight. During this period, the interior of the aircraft has been cleaned, and seats, cushions and all the rest prepared, put in preparation for the next flight. Fuel load is produced by the load control section, and this is passed to the mechanic doing the transit check on the aircraft. The fuelers are contacted. They usually know the list of flights operating. They connect their bowsers to the aircraft, and the mechanic monitors the fueling to the correct level and distribution. When the mechanic is satisfied that the aircraft is fully serviceable for flight, correct fuel load, and is ready for boarding, and he will pass this information to the ground operations supervisor, who will commence to board the passengers.
Scandinavian 538 ground, clear Dublin to Manchester, Blue 1, cross Liffey, flight level 150, request level change en route. Just to let you know. That's quite too many people on board.
72 Tower.
Thank you. Contact Tower 118.6. Bye-bye.
What exactly do you have to do from here? Say, when a plane is going in or a plane is going out, what exactly is your job?
Our job in this respect is to provide mainly safety. We must provide a safe operation. And in so doing, we must provide separation between aircraft routing the same route, either by vertical separation, and that is one higher than the other, lateral separation, which is on different routes from the airfield, or longitudinal separation, that is time separation, one behind the other and keeping that time and distance between them.
You're rather like the traffic policeman of the airport.
Yes, that could be in a general way, like a traffic policeman. But the difference between a traffic policeman and an air traffic controller is that although they may apply something like separate standards or right as regards traffic, you must remember that the air traffic controller has to deal with aircraft that cannot stop in the air.
872, clear to cross runway 35 to holding point 06. Your flight plan to Luton is approved with special VFR clearance to the Dublin zone boundary.
You go to Zurich now. What time do you expect to be there? And you do intend to come back tonight, I gather, from something you said.
Well, now, we were initially due to take off at 4 o'clock local, but because of this air traffic control delay in the London area, it affects aircraft taking off from here. It's rather like the traffic lights. We have to wait for a green to go, and there are airways which are rather like motorways in the air, and we have to wait to get our slot in that, which will get us to Zurich. Now, we're flying over the London area, so this affects us. In this case, we've got a 40-minute delay, and we're now taking off at 4:40 local. Flight time is approximately 2 hours, so that just puts us in there at about 6:30. We have about an hour on the ground there, and we're due back here at 9 o'clock local, and that finishes us then for the day.
What kind of people fly this flight from Dublin to Zurich?
Well, it's Friday evening now, so I'd imagine they're mainly business people returning to the continent. We will get some, probably, school children, you know, au pairs and that sort of thing. And there probably will be a smattering of tourists, but I'm sure the traffic people will be more au fait with the law than I would be, you know. I would expect quite a few business people on this.
Are we going to Zurich?
Yes. Have you worked here in this country, or are you on holidays?
I have been on holidays, yes.
Been on holidays here, yes.
Fisherman's holiday or...
No, on the riverboat from Carrigonshan we were going to Killaloe and then back to Carrigonshan. That was very nice.
Where do you live on the continent?
In Basel.
I see.
Basel, so Switzerland, yes.
You fly into Zurich and then go to...
With another plane to Basel.
We have 2 weeks car and 1 week we stay in Dublin. Oh, it's an easy flight, I hope. But the weather is good.
Have you been here on a holiday or are you here
holiday.
On business?
Holiday.
Where do you come from?
Zurich.
And you're flying back?
To Zurich.
How long have you been here?
2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And what have you done in the period?
Oh, we went with the car.
With Switzgibbon. Because my daughter lives there.
I see. Do you intend to stay there for some time, or are you just going on a holiday?
Oh, I'm going for a visit, just about a month.
Is it a regular flight for you from Dublin to Zurich?
Well, she's only living in Zurich now since February, so this is my first trip out to Zurich.
I see. And you actually live in Zurich, do you?
No, I'm going to my daughter in Kreuzlingen.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, she's living there too, married to her.
And you are taking train or car from Zurich?
Oh, they're meeting me at Zurich, yeah.
Have you... Taken this flight before from
yes,
Dublin?
Yes, I've been 3 times.
Yes.
I have gone overland as well, which I prefer if I have a friend, because you see the countryside, you know, it's lovely going through Belgium and that. I like it at any rate.
It's a nicer way to go.
Yeah, it is, if you have the time.
Except it's very convenient to fly.
If you want somebody with you, that's the only thing, you know. Only this way it's so quick.
A short holiday, yeah.
I see.
Well, we're just connecting a flight with Zurich. We're not staying in Zurich.
And where are you going to?
To Val. Uh-huh.
Have you taken this flight before?
No, first time.
Yes, and have you been in Val before, in Switzerland before?
No, we haven't.
Yes, it's your first time. Are you brother and sister or?
Oh, man and wife.
Man and wife, aren't you?
Shortly.
I see.
To Vegas on Lake Lucerne.
Is this on a holiday?
On a holiday.
Friends of yours or?
To my sister, to our sister, I should say. She's married to a Swiss and they have a lovely hotel on the Lake of Lucerne. So we're having everything on the house, you see, and that's why we're going to such a dear country.
You've obviously been there before.
We go out every year. Well, we don't all go every year, but some of the family go every year, and I have gone for about the last, I suppose, 15 consecutive years.
You're 3 sisters, in fact, are you?
We're 2 sisters, and
a sister-in-law.
This is my sister-in-law.
I see. You've been there before?
I've been there before, but not quite so often as Mona.
I see. And what part of the country do you come from, are you?
We're originally from Dublin, and Mona's still in Dublin, but I married a Corkman, so I went down on a single ticket.
How long do you intend to spend in Switzerland?
I'm spending a fortnight. My sister will be 3 weeks.
668 ground, good afternoon. Stand by for push and start, please. The time, 4-8. Surface wind, 030, 10 knots. Runway 35 or 06. The temperature, 17. QNH, 1007. QFE, 9-9-9-9.
007-999. Is there a stock time of on the hour plus or minus 3-2 good?
That is affirmative. We'll advise now very shortly.
Looking from the terminal building, an onlooker sees you as the last person who has touched this aircraft. You are an aircraft mechanic. What exactly do you do?
Well, when the aircraft is fully loaded and all the doors are closed, the pilot requests permission from the control tower to start his engines. We give the pilot clearance to start his engines if there's nobody in the way or anything else that would damage the engines. He then starts his engines. When the engines are running, the pilot again receives permission from the control tower to push the airplane back from the stands. He passes this information to us by radio control. We then push the aircraft back off the stand, and when we are fully back, we ask the pilot to apply the brakes. he puts on the brakes, and when the aircraft is fully ready to taxi away under his own power, we disconnect the tow bar and the tractor. We inform the captain that he is clear to taxi, and we break radio contact, and after this all contact is made by hand signals. We then signal to the captain that he is clear to taxi, and he taxis out to the end of the runway.
It looks like a very dangerous job.
Well, it is only dangerous if you, through carelessness, walk in front of an engine intake. There are certain guidelines that you take. You must walk so many feet away from the intake, otherwise you will be sucked in.
Now, here in the stand, there are fire bottles. What purpose do they serve?
These fire bottles must be on every stand that there is an aircraft on to ensure that if the aircraft goes on fire during startup, you will have a fire bottle to extinguish the fire.
Okay, this Aer Lingus 68 now has a slot time. Is he to get priority and clear him to start?
Roger. Has Albion started yet?
No, I haven't given them start yet.
Okay, give the 668 priority.
Aer Lingus 668, your time of 1600 plus or minus 3 is still good. You're clear to start and push.
Thank you.
Does your crew remain the same all the time? Do you work with the same crew? And do you see yourself as a member of a crew or as the leader of a crew?
Well, first of all, the first question is, no, the crew changes all the time. We were both flying last night, but we were flying with different... He was flying with a different captain and I had a different co-pilot, and the same thing happens tomorrow. Now, as regards the philosophy on board, it is quite definitely a team effort. It's very, very important. In fact, we include the cabin staff in this. We have... There's a big change in emphasis on the air hostess's job now, for instance. In the old days, it was purely, you know, tea, coffee, and nice smiles. Now, her primary function is an emergency function. In the event of emergency, she is responsible, and so are we, for getting the passengers off the aircraft. And we have, in the last 3 or 4 years, changed our whole philosophy in this respect. So they are now quite highly trained in emergency equipment and emergency evacuations, and we have a section out here in which they do training every year on the various types and various equipment. So as regards the flight today now, yes, we are a team, and as captain I am leader of that team, but I have my specific duties. It's not a question of sitting back and telling people what to do.
Aer Lingus 668, clear push. Aer Lingus 668, taxi holding point runway 06, standby for crossing runway 35. Aer Lingus 668 is clear to cross runway 35.
668, clear to cross, thank you.
Aer Lingus 668, ground, copy your ATC clearance, clear Dublin to Zurich, red 14, green 1, amber 1, cross Vartry, flight level 230, request level change en route.
Red 14, green 1, flight on track Vartry, 230, request level change en route.
That is correct, and 668, contact Dublin Tower, 118.6, bye-bye now.
668, hold clear, runway 06. 668, clear to line up runway 06 and hold.
Aer Lingus 668, we're on our way now and straight ahead to 3,000 feet on our right turn for Vartry. 668.
Of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout.
It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.